Christy? Where's Christy? Oh, there she is. She appears from the shadows. We're going to have a couple of announcements from Christy.
I'm stealthy. I go different ways. Sneaky like that. Okay, raise your hand if you are at a different table from last week. Woo! Okay, now raise your hand if you had the same problem as me, who went to a different table and realized you were with the same table leader and two people from your group at a different table. Anybody? Just those two over there. That's where I was. I moved. I was the bigger person. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Well, I am so happy to see you guys here tonight. Again, you're so cute, and I keep waking up entirely too excited on Monday morning. So stop being so cute. Just too excited to see you. So last week, when I announced this paper, I kind of hadn't read it before I got up here. Sorry. So what it is it's pastor's wives from San Salvador, and you can still bring this stuff in until October 24th. But what needs to happen is you need to label it San Salvador, because cute little people who work in the office might not know who it's for. They are cute. Aren't they cute? Look at her. Her little folly scarf. I can't do scarves. I keep thinking one of my kids is on me. I don't know. So cute on you. And I try them on at every store I go to, and I just, can't do those or turtlenecks. Please don't buy me those. So some of you guys were so sweet, and you came here at 5:30 to pray, and you didn't know where to go, so I didn't tell you where to go last week. So good job praying by yourself. Where it is, if you want to come at 5:30, you're more than welcome to. Do 5:30 till 6 or 6:10. And if sound checks go long. So sorry, I need to calm down. Told you guys, make me too excited. So anyway, it's in the third grade room, or if you don't know what room that is, it's room 102, this left hallway, and it's the first door on the right at 5:30. We'd love to have you come out and pray. It's a great way to start the night. And speaking of prayer, there's prayer available after the messages during group time if you need it. There will be women up here, I'm assuming like over there and over there. I forgot to check. But to pray with you if you need prayer. And if you got your study last week, we were out of binders, but we have binders now. So if you got your study last week and you don't have a binder, they're out at the front table for you. Just not funny. I know so many of you know about Gary Goodnow, and for those of you who don't know, he went home to be with Jesus on Saturday. So a very happy thing for him, but a very sad thing for us who are left. And so we really need to just be praying for Carol, and she trusts God, and she knows where her hope is, and she knows she's going to see him again. But we just need to be praying for her, as you guys could all imagine. And as I was reading in Isaiah this morning in the one-year Bible, in Isaiah 49, it says, "They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them, for he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by springs of water he will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated." And as I was praying about today and praying for Carol and thinking about his family and Allison, and I just thought, I am so glad that we serve the God that can turn a desolate plain into a pasture of feeding. Isn't that amazing? Because he doesn't have to. He could so easily be justified in being a far-off God. He doesn't have to be near to us. He doesn't have to be intimate with us. And yet he chose to tear the veil and to call us into the most intimate place with him. And I'm so blessed that we serve a God that can do that. And at the same time, I cannot wait to be in that place where heat nor sun shall strike them, because he who has mercy on us is he who leads us. And I love that. And I was so blessed too by the study this week. Margie did such an awesome job, and I love the picture of how Paul loved Timothy. And I thought, if Paul could love Timothy that much, or Titus, sorry, Timothy too, I'm sure he loved him, but but how much he loved Titus, because we're in the book of Titus. If he could love him that much, how much more could God love us? And in Psalm 69 this morning in the one-year Bible, I just love David. And he said, "Oh God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you." And doesn't it amaze you that a God who sees all of our weakness, all of our ickiness, all of our yuckiness, could love us so radically and so passionately? And I just felt like God wanted to remind you guys of that tonight. God is so in love with you. Whether you opened up your Titus study or never opened it up, whether you've read your Bible or haven't read it at all, whether you prayed or you haven't prayed, God's love for you could not get any greater than it is at this moment right now. God loves you girls so much. So why don't we stand and pray? Get back ready for that worship. Lord, we just come before you tonight, God, and Lord, you are the great and awesome God, and you don't have to lead us gently, but Lord, we're so glad you do. And you don't have to be merciful to us, but Lord, we are so glad that you are. God, you're good and you're gracious. Lord, we lift up the good news to you right now. God, we pray for Carol, that you would be her peace, that you would be her comfort, that you would be her strength, that you would be her joy, and that you would be her hope. And God, we are so blessed that you are each one of those things. We are so blessed that you are the God of all comfort. We are so blessed that you remain faithful. We are so blessed, God, and we're just in awe that you love us, that you choose us, that you choose to call us your own. That amazes me, God. We just pray for the good news that you would bless them and their daughters, and God, that you would be with them. We pray for worship tonight, that, Lord, you would just let us dwell in your presence, God. Let us take the shoes off of our hearts, because, God, this is holy ground, because you're here to meet with us. Lord, we pray you would go before the message and speak to our hearts, Lord. Give us soft soil in our hearts. We thank you for you. We thank you that you're a close and intimate, personal God. And, Lord, may we respond to that by giving you our complete selves, because, Lord, you're so worthy of so much more, but at least all of us. So, God, just take us tonight, mold us, shape us, and work in us as you will. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
do worship you, Lord, because you are so worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship. You are powerful. You are mighty. You are strong. Yeah, you're so tender. You're so kind. Indeed, it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. And your love for us is like a never-ending Niagara Falls, Lord. Grace upon grace upon grace, and we are grateful. And we just commit the rest of our evening to you now, Lord. This time of teaching in your word, help us to worship you with our minds, to be attentive to the teaching of your word, to let your spirit have a quickening in our hearts, doing surgery, bringing comfort, encouragement, enlightenment, Lord. Whatever it is that we need, each woman here, Lord, wants to hear from you. So move among us now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Margie and Christy, could you come on up? You're so in trouble. No. Well, so many of you are new, and I just thought it'd be awesome to start out the evening tonight by just doing a little holy huddle, and these are your teachers for this this little stretch of Titus, and me too. So just great to see faces together, and what a blessing each of them are. So this is Marianne Hummel, this is Margie Hill, and this is Christy Duff, and I'm Debbie Bryson. So thank you so much.
This is Debbie.
Yay. Yay. So fun. So if you would open your Bibles to the book of Titus. And this letter of Titus is very interesting. As we know, all scripture is God-breathed. All of it is inspired. It's God who really wrote all of these words. But he used a vessel named Paul, who held the pen. So as we read these words, we look at the very dynamics of it. We look at Paul, and we see, think about him. He came to the Lord, if you recall, out of a hyper-religious background, a hyper-religious Jewish background. You can't get much more religious than that. And it was written to Titus. He was a Greek who grew up surrounded by Greek mythology, idols, and worldly philosophy. Titus was a young man, and Paul was older, nearing the end of his life journey. So Paul was literally passing the baton. He was passing the baton to Titus and other men probably Silas and Timothy also. He was training both of them, Timothy and Titus, to follow him as he followed Christ. We're not sure if Paul led Titus to the Lord, but we hear him say those awesome words, "Titus, a true son in the faith." How sweet that is. Wouldn't you love that if someone said that to you? Especially someone like Paul. Paul wasn't training Titus for a job, just teaching him skills. No, he loved this man. It's interesting when you study the life of Paul, you never read anything about a family. No wife, no children. And because of his position in the religious community, it's thought that at one time he was married. So what happened to them? Did they not like him becoming a Christian? Did they leave him when he came to Christ? Or did some great tragedy happen that he lost them through death? So here we see neither Timothy or Titus were his biological children, but they were his spiritual children. Say that word with me. They were his spiritual children. And there's somebody here tonight that if you come for no other reason tonight, that's why you came. You needed to hear those words. Paul was a great role model, was he not? But not just being a role model, he was also doggedly intentional. Love that word. That's my new favorite word. Doggedly intentional. Can you say that with me? Doggedly intentional. I have been accused of that. So we see
And we'll learn more and more and more. He taught them, and he trained them, and he trusted them with big, important things of the Lord. But he also taught them to use their spiritual wings. Love Paul. Love the whole story of this. Do you not? So let's read the first 9 verses. Paul, he introduces himself, a bond servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, love Paul. He said, you know what? God cannot lie. So when he says we have eternal life, you can take it to the bank. God, who cannot lie, he promised before time even began. Eternity has always been, is now, and will always be. But has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, a true son in our common faith. Grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And for somebody else, you needed to hear these words, because you've had a month. Who's had a month? Like, who's had a month? I was so stressed out the other day. I had chest pains. I thought, oh my goodness, am I having a heart attack? I was so multitasking and so stressed and so just like overwhelmed. Who has felt like that? Yeah. Like, is something happening out there? I mean, bad things, big things, scary things, hard things. My grandson used to say, who let the dogs out? Who? That's what you feel, right? Who? Something's going on. So we're going to do a little mental and emotional and spiritual, calm down, exercise. Okay. I want you to breathe out anxiety, fear, I'm just naming my two. Inadequacy, bitterness, frustration, anger. Okay, take a deep breath in and exhale. Okay, do it again. Now breathe in, Jesus. And we're just going to pause here for just a moment, because you know what? We need to practice his presence. Because the dogs have ganged up on us. And the reality and the presence of all that we have feared and that have caused us problems in the last weeks or days or months or hours. The presence of those things get to us, don't they? They do get to us. No. Let's just still our hearts. Jesus is in this room. Know you not that? Jesus is in this room. He's in this room right now. Just close your eyes and breathe in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As Paul wrote, grace, grace, grace to you, girls, grace, grace to you, and mercy. I'm just praying mercy over you. May the Holy Spirit just pour over you right now in an extravagant way and give you peace. Peace in your heart. Lord, we just push out the dogs. We push out those things. And Lord, we know that you're here to encourage us tonight. And so we pray that you would be our Savior, not just for eternity, but for our right now. In Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. For this reason, he's writing to Titus. He says, I left you in Crete. And here's the reasons. So you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders, appoint leadership in every city as I command you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. We need leadership, absolutely. So as we begin this letter to Titus, it is a letter written to him while he was pastoring a church in a place called Crete. Crete was is a long, narrow, mountainous island south of the mainland of Greece. It's an island of 100 cities, highly populated. It has rich, fertile valleys. It was anciently the seat of an ancient and powerful civilization long before even the dawn of the Greek history. Legend had it that the mythological Greek god Zeus was born on a mountaintop in Crete. Who knew? Really? Cretans were daring sailors, famous bowmen, and had a very bad moral reputation. Cretans. But listen to this. Listen to this. In Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, that amazing day when suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and they, the believers who had gathered for prayer after Jesus had ascended, those people, they were all filled, radically, dramatically filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. What a day. Ah, I wish I had been there. Wouldn't that be awesome? And the people were amazed when they saw that. Verse 11 tells us that there were Cretans there that day. And they heard the Christians speaking in their own native language, the wonderful works of God. That day, they would have heard the salvation was in Jesus, that they could be completely forgiven from their sins. You know what? That's good news. That is the gospel, and they heard it. So, who were these Cretans, and what were they doing there in Jerusalem on a high Jewish holiday? Were they seeking God? Were they like, I believe everyone has at least a moment in their life when they just look around and say, there has got to be more. There's got to be more. In fact, Ecclesiastes says that God has placed eternity in every single person's heart. Yes, he has. So were they seeking God, or was God seeking them, drawing them by his Holy Spirit? After they heard, then did they go back and tell others, and did the seeds that were planted in their hearts grow until they started praying that the Lord would plant a church in their country? I believe that's true. I have seen it. I've seen it historically happen several times in my lifetime. In the early 90s, I had lived my entire life when the Iron Curtain was in place and Soviet Russia was anti-God, in fact, very not just agnostic, but atheistic, and the Iron Curtain fell. My husband had gone and smuggled Bibles behind the lines, and as soon as it fell, Christians just came in like a flood into the big cities and handed out Bibles. But before long, those people had taken Bibles across, clear across the whole nation of the Soviet Union. And people were like saying, would you come and send a pastor to us and teach us the Bible? We've never read it before. And even in my own life, I came to the Lord in 1969 in a dramatic time called the Jesus People Revival. It was radical times. It was amazing. I mean, really, hundreds of kids would come to the Lord in a high school in a week or a month's time. It was an amazing, wonderful time. And in that time, when I came to the Lord, there was not very many churches that wanted young people, not if they didn't look the suit and tie look. And so those Christians that would, those kids that would come to the Lord at Calvary Costa Mesa, then would go back to wherever they lived, take their Bible that was ragged by the first month that they were born again, and they would be on their knees. Lord, plant a church here that teaches the Bible, that opens the Bible and teaches what it says. Lord, plant a church here. And at those times, there was Chuck tapes. Pastor Chuck Smith would give Bible studies, and they made cassettes. Some of you don't. A cassette, it's like records sound. They called them Chuck tapes. And people would get Chuck tapes, and they would have Bible studies just with Chuck tapes and listening to, he was their pastor. And then pretty soon they would just pray, and the Lord would raise up a pastor. And I've seen that happen. And I believe that that happened. In Crete, God did plant a church. And Paul left Titus to pastor it. Maybe they had never had a pastor before. So then, what was the church like? This was now 30 years after Pentecost. But this was still first-generation Christianity. Most of the believers had not been raised in Christian homes because there wasn't very many Christian homes, like anywhere. So maybe most of them grew up with many bad examples of lifestyles in their home. Maybe many of them were still rough around the edges themselves, fresh out of the world. I'll tell you, in that those early years of the Jesus People Revival, you know, I remember the time when I was the oldest Christian I knew, and I was 6 months old to the Lord. You know, we were all kind of raggedy, but we just loved Jesus. So why Titus? Why was Titus given this great privilege of pastoring this shabby, previously immoral group of people? Thanks, Paul. Truth is, Titus was the perfect candidate because Titus got it. He understood. Titus, of all people, knew that God can take you out of a godless background, and he can make you godly. That's a good thing to get. That's a good thing to own. That's a good thing to take on the road, because God can use you not just in spite of you. Sometimes God uses you on purpose because of the things that you have gone through. Titus was the perfect candidate because he didn't just deliver the message. He was the message. It is so good to have living proof. You know, a picture is worth a thousand words, is it not? Titus was a good example of a good example. Absolutely. So the title of tonight's message is A Good Example. Right. And as we look at verse 1, Paul makes a great, clear, definitive statement of who he was personally. Who was Paul? Paul was a what? He was a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus. He was both humble in that statement, very humble. And he was also iron, steely, confident of the authority and the anointing that God has given to him. An apostle, what meaneth that? It is merely being a messenger, one sent. And for Paul, God sent him, and you know what? He went. And he went with boldness. Good for him. Bondservant, what does that mean? The Greek word is doulos, which means a slave totally. Totally a slave, but not when forced. Not when forced into bondage. It's a slave by choice. So bondservant merely means devoted, surrendered, committed, sold out. And so when Paul called himself the bondservant, he said, there is no turning back for me. I have one cause, and that's Jesus, and I'm committed to it. You know what? I like that. You guys are thinking about a tattoo, that would be good right across here. No, don't do it. People would not understand. Jesus blazed the trail. Nowhere you can write it is here, inside, on your heart. Jesus, He blazed the trail on this, didn't he? Isn't it Jesus that blazed the trail? And he taught us, when he taught us to pray, he taught us in our prayers to pray such thing as, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, that's contrary to how we normally pray. Usually, if you're really honest and think about many of your prayers, it's usually, my kingdom come, my will be done. And we lay it out for him, right? Bondservant, if you can cross that line, and really, truly, every issue that you take to the throne, you say, God, not my will, but your will be done. You can get one of those tattoos right on your heart, inside. Absolutely. And Jesus lived it. He didn't just teach it. As we know, that scandalous night, when he knew what was up ahead, when he knew the brutal price that he would pay for your salvation, he had to fight for it. He had to fight for it. And sometimes we do too, don't we? Sometimes we do want our will and we have our teeth clenched and our nails deep into it. Our will. Jesus had to fight for it, but he won, and he blazed the trail for us. And at the end of his prayer time, because that's where you win the battle, he said, not my will, but your will be done. Child of God, little eye contact here. Child of God, you will never know joy. No, you will never know complete, absolute, fly your wings freedom and true purpose and fulfillment until you learn to cross that line, really. From my will be done to thy will be done. God himself is the greatest, most loving master in the universe. Do you believe that? Is he not the greatest that ever was or could be? But you, now little eye contact, you on the other hand, you, serving yourself, self-seeking, self-fulfilling, seeking your own life. You are the worst master in the universe. Really, you are. Hope I'm not breaking bad news to you. It is the truth. Our memory verse this week is 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul encouraged us. He invited us. He urged us, saying, follow my example, say it with me, as I follow the example of Christ. These are marching orders. Yes, they are. They're marching orders. They were marching orders to Titus, to the people he pastored, and to us. He says, come, let's go, let's do this. Paul was a great example because he had a great example. That is why he needed a picture just like we do. And a picture is worth 1,000 words. I'm going to do a little visual for you right now. Some of you saw this little display, did you not? And some of you are thinking, what meaneth that? There is quite a resurgence of sewing in our society right now. Young girls are wanting to learn to sew again. And it's pretty exciting. They're having fun with patterns. And when I was probably about 21, I got the sewing bug. And I just couldn't stop sewing. And I just had fabric all over my house, and you were always stepping on needles. Anyway, this is my little visual for us tonight. And in this pattern, I was looking for a pattern because I have no patterns. I bought it at a garage sale. And this is, some of you have never seen a pattern to sew. This is what it looks like. And inside, it's marvelous. First of all, you get the picture. This is what you get. You get a picture. And you would sit down at these big catalogs, and you would turn the pages endlessly until you found just the one that you liked, the one that you wanted to make, that you were really going to, it was worth it. It was so cute. It was worth working on. So you bought your pattern. This one is a Vogue, which is always the highest design of the best designers and the most expensive. Inside, you got an instruction sheet. And an instruction sheet, I liked it. It wasn't just words. I do better with pictures. That was good. Some of you say, that's a good idea. That's a really good idea. So there it was. And this is how it worked. This is how it worked. You got your pattern pieces, and here's one. And this is a part of it. It's like kind of like a puzzle. You get all the pieces for the puzzle. And you cut it out of fabric. You pin it on your fabric. And then you take very sharp scissors. These are my very best. And you cut along the pattern piece until you've got the piece cut out. The nice thing about it is that you could pick whatever fabric you wanted. And that was nice. And I believe that there's a good spiritual application for that. You know, God isn't cookie cutter us, not at all. But he does have a pattern for us that we can look at and we go, okay, Lord, I want you to cut me into that shape. By your Holy Spirit, I want you to cut me into that shape. At the end of this lesson, we talk about the qualifications for godly leadership. And you know what? All of us are our leaders somewhere in our little world, whether we're a mommy or we're in our neighborhood or in the workplace. We are, if we're God's children, we're called to be a leader. And there's qualifications for that. And I've been thinking about this little demo, and I was thinking of the Holy Spirit just cutting that piece out. And what happens then, this is what doesn't belong. It's throwaway stuff. And I kept going to the Lord and said, use your scissors on me. Cut out that attitude. You know, when you get stressed, you get a bad attitude. Who says it? Who admits it? Come on. The rest of you are deceived. You get a bad attitude. And I just had this burned in my brain. And I was just saying, Lord, cut it out. Take your laser beam and just cut that attitude out. And you know what? He kept doing it. And then he would leave the piece that was right for me. And I loved that I took this piece. First, I cut it out of denim. And then that pattern piece. And this piece, I could cut the new piece out. And see, this is like God gives us the pattern in his word. And he cut Paul out. And he was kind of faded by this time. And it just overlaid. And then a new piece, Titus, was cut. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I love that. So the funny thing about this is, see this pattern? It's probably from the 80s. Yeah, it's kind of been around a long time. Bought it for 50 cents. I opened it up. And you know, the really sad thing? It had never been used. It had never been used. And I see that with a lot of Christians. You know, the Word of God is our pattern. It's the Word of God. And there's so many Christians, they have their Bible, but there's no surgery, there's no cutting, there's no conforming being done in their life because you don't read it. You know what? That's got to change. That's got to change. Isn't this a tragedy? They never used this. They carried it around for 30-odd years. Like just having it was going to make a difference in their life. Not so. Not so. So, back to our story. You have a handout here. And number one says Paul was a good example because he had a great example. Jesus. And I want to urge you, I want to go to the big one there. I want to urge you. Paul had Jesus as his personal hero, his savior, his master personally, his personal mentor, his personal teacher and trainer. Some of you would like a personal trainer. You know what? Spiritually, you've got Jesus. Some of you would like a best friend. You know what? You've got Jesus. This question, number one, challenges you to press into that. Jesus says, come, learn of me. In Ephesians 4, Paul said, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Love that passion for all of that. In our Christian walk, we do need patterns. We need pictures. As I said, I came to the Lord in 1969 at 20 years old. Like Titus, I had not been raised in a Christian home. Calvary Chapel at that time was being birthed. At that time, there was one Calvary Chapel on the planet, one. And the sanctuary held about 100 people. And the first time I went, it was packed. It was packed, and I think there was 150 there, just packing those doors. And it started with just a handful of older people, and then there were hundreds, and then even thousands of young people coming to the Lord. We had no one to individually, personally train us and mentor us. But we had Pastor Chuck, who taught us, and we had Kay Smith, his wife. She taught a series. It was about 1974, maybe, I think. And I was a young pastor's wife at that point with a daughter. And she taught a series called Pleasing God. And it was so amazing. I heard rumor that I lived in Oregon. She was in Costa Mesa. I heard rumor that she was teaching such a study. And so I called them, how do I get cassette tapes of those messages? And they did a weekly mailing program. And so they would mail me the tape every week. And I would go out to my mailbox and I would look at my little mailbox. Is it here? Is it here? Because she mentored me from afar and taught me how to love God, how to please God. It was an awesome time. It was an awesome time. And now it's in this book, which I highly suggest every one of you should own this book. It's amazing. But also in those times, those early years of my walk, we had God's Word. And in God's Word, there are pictures. There are indeed. I had pictures of great examples, like Noah. He's a personal hero of mine. In fact, next month, they are in Cincinnati area, they are building the ark, life size. And Noah has been such a hero of mine. I'm going to go see it. I'm going to see it at the stage that it's half finished, because I just want to stand and look. It was 50 years into the work when he was half finished, and just look at how that would feel to be halfway done and know you still had all of that to complete. Noah is a personal, he was a mentor to me. Joseph was a mentor. Esther was a mentor. David, Ruth were mentors to me, and of course, Paul. Paul was a little scary to me at first. He was so strong, so smart, and just so dogged. And but the more you get to know him, he was a softy. He cried, he kissed, he hugged. Sometimes he talked like a girl. I mean, he was so affectionate to in his writings. But also in the Word of God, we have good examples of bad examples. Say that with me. We have good examples of bad examples. People like Samson, he was stupid. Jezebel, Lot's wife. You know, you want to just say, girl, what were you thinking? I mean, really, Lot, I mean, he was not, didn't have his thinking cap on at all. King Saul was a good example of a bad example. We have pictures in the Bible. Titus was given, here in this church, Titus was given two assignments, two tasks. Number one assignment was to set in order the things that are lacking. And number two, he was to appoint leadership in the churches. You know what? We need people to step out. We do. We need people to blaze the trail. Even if they're just one step ahead of us, we need leadership within any fellowship. We need leadership in the family. We need leadership in circles of friends. Yes, we do. This was a holy opportunity and responsibility. The church is not a religious club. It is not a business. The church is not a building. When you say, I'm going to church, don't look at it as a building. When you say you're going to church, think of it as you're coming to us and we're coming to you. That's how we need to look at it. The church is the family of God. It is the body of Christ. And listen to this. Listen to this. When we are disconnected, when we are disjointed, we are out of order. Titus was to set things in order. And when we are just scattered, random, living our own self lives, we are, say the words with me, out of order. That's not right. And that's not good. And God would not have that for us. So that was one of his tasks, I believe. If you truly are the temple of God, you know, the Bible says, know you not? That you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit lives in you. And a lot of people say, I didn't know that. Well, that's why he said it that way. At least we don't live like we know that. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So, if you are the body of Christ, live like it. Be intentional. Say that with me. Be intentional. Intend to live like the body of Christ. As I look at let's look at our handout again, because I must read this wonderful scripture from Romans 12. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us, what does it, Nick, say? No, say it like you mean it. Like the Nike commercial. That's it. Let us use them. At prophecy, you know what? Just prophecy. In proportion of your faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, you know what? Just be feisty. That's right. In exhortation, he who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. As I thought of seeing your faces, and I was like, Christy, I loved Monday night last week, and I just loved seeing some of you. Some of you are old-timers, some of you are newbies. I have seen in this room God change people, where they came all crumpled. I remember one gal just sitting on the front pew, and we don't have pews anymore, but she was just crying her eyes out. She was a train wreck. Oh, my goodness. And she stayed after everyone left, and she was crying and just, you know, and it was because, let me tell you why it was, because she had eaten cookies. And she had promised God that she would not eat cookies, and she had eaten cookies. And so she had not kept her promise, and she had failed, and she was miserable, and she was just crying. And I was sitting there. As soon as she said cookies, I was like, okay, keep a straight face. This is really serious to her. Do not laugh at her when she is so tragical. And finally, I couldn't stand it anymore, and I just started laughing so hard, I started crying. And both of us were crying. I was crying because it was so funny, and she was crying because she was so sad. And pretty soon, both of us were almost falling off the pew. And you know where she is right now? She runs a rehab program, and women that come through that program, they come out giants. They come out so healthy, so grounded in God's word. God changes people. And I'm just looking out at you, and I'm just thinking, I'm telling you, God has promised that he has given gifts to everybody in the body of Christ. And in this room, I'm telling you, in this room, if we put our gifts on the table, we could be an army. we could be undaunting. We could be amped and ready. We could fight for the wounded women. We could fight against wrong in this world. We could lock shields. Couldn't we, girls? Couldn't we? And you know what? It's just time to get fighting mad, is it? Crazy, wrong things are happening in this world. And you know what? It's time. It's time for us to put our pieces together and live like we're the body of Christ. Some of you are gifted to help people. You are. You're gifted to help people to be confident of their skills. I was in the sound booth, and Mary Jean was trying to put this mic on me, and Shelley looked over and said, "Oh, Mary Jean, you always do it so good." That's tricky, Shelley. She said it so sweetly. She was just giving confidence. Some of you are prayers. Some of you are listeners. You listen to people's sorrows and their stories. You're God's ears in the body of Christ. Some of you are the hands and feet. Some of you are your destiny. You're on this planet to make coffee and set up chairs. That's your divine destiny. Absolutely. Some of you, your destiny is to lead worship and just lead us to a song for the soul. Titus was given the holy honor and duty to put things in order. The society of Crete was out of order. People were used and abused in that kind of society as it is today. And you know what? We need to say, not anymore for us. Girls, can we say that? Not anymore for us. No. So, I'm going to talk about two things as we close. First thing is something called the call. Say that with me, the call. And I'm going to show you a little video clip. We're having a conference at Calvary Oceanside, November 12th. Mark the date. Everyone write it down. If you got a pen, write it down, November 12th. And we are inviting you to this great, big, amazing party. And it is to equip you, to fire you up, to teach you how to spread your spiritual wings. And it's right down the street. It's at their building. But I'll tell you, the heart and soul of it is women right here in this church that are coming together to serve and to put this on, because we believe that God is calling some of you. So let's listen to this little video. Watch the screens. Thank you. I felt like that God wanted us to see that tonight because it's so connected. And we need to be stirred up to take our place in the body of Christ. So there'll be a registration table out in the foyer. Terry will be manning it out there for us. Pick up flyers and bring your teenage girls. Did you know that Jamie Urbina is going to promo in the high school group? Because I believe that part of the reason that we lose our young girls is because they have no spiritual purpose on this planet, or so they think. They hear the world calling them, but God is calling them. So I wanted to tell you about that. And the second thing is Christmas. We have always we have a Christmas event. For the first time ever in our history, we're going to strip this room and we're going to fill it with tables. And girls are going to decorate the tables individually. So there's hostesses that can come and decorate each table, and you can sign up for that. And there's all kinds of little tasks, because little eye contact. I want to tell you something. At Christmas, girls will come. Girls that are needy, girls that are wounded, girls that are struggling, girls that haven't stepped foot in a church in years or ever. They will come at Christmas. And the whole point of our Christmas event is to bring them in, to bring them out of the cold. Our theme is good things come in small packages. And God wants to show his love that night. And there's a sign-up sheet on your table to sign up. And next week, we'll have sign-up sheets for the next few weeks. We need some helpers for the call. We need some helpers. We need some body life. Girls, step it up. Be part of this. Because I'll tell you, you will never have so much fun as when you serve together. That's where real friendships happen. Who can say that? Amen to that. You've experienced it. Amen and hallelujah. It's the awesome best experience in the Christian life is to serve together. So closing last word is integrity. And that's item 4 on your little handout. Integrity does matter. And in Titus 1, Paul lays it out because the Holy Spirit lays it out. It matters how you live in this dark and weary world. We need to be shining as lights, as a contrast to the darkness around it. It talked about different criteria here. And just a few days ago, I was out to dinner with a friend, and we were at dinner. The guy came with the wine list, and she leaned over and she said, "Would you mind if I had a glass of wine?" And I lowered my eyes and I said, the call that I got in the car, you know, as we were traveling, is somebody that has struggled with alcohol. And it would mean a lot to me if you don't have wine at my table. Is that legalism? No. That's living with purpose. You know what? Let God take his scissors and cut off the dross, the parts of the world that are still clinging into your life. Let's bow our heads. And Lord, you're a holy God. And you have called us to live worthy of the honor of being called your child. And Lord, you're holy. We pray that you would make us holy. God, that we would honor you, that we would trust you, that we would be sold out for you.